In this episode of Pop Culture Weekly, I talk with Bebe Rexha herself all about the new movie Queenpins and an encore presentation of my interview with Max to celebrate Firefly. Let's go!
Welcome to Pop Culture Weekly with Kyle McMahon from iHeartRadio. Your pop culture news, views, reviews, and celebrity interviews on all the movies, TV, music, and pop culture you crave weekly. Here's Kyle McMahon.
Hello, and welcome to episode 80 of Pop Culture Weekly with Kyle McMahon. I, of course, am Kyle McMahon, and thank you for listening. I love you. I love talking to you. I love doing this for you. And, you know, I keep it coming. Keep your reaching out coming. Keep your emails and socials and, you know, comments and reviews coming. Reviews really help. Please review the show on Apple Podcasts. It really, really, really helps. And you might just hear your review on a future episode of Pop Culture Weekly. In this episode, I interview Bebe Rexha, singer, songwriter, producer, and actress, about the brand new movie Queenpins, which you might have saw my review on popcultureweekly.com. It's such a great movie, really fun, hysterically funny, and it actually has a surprising amount of heart, too. It is based on a true story about a woman from Arizona in 2012. It was a coupon queen who ended up being the mastermind behind the largest federal coupon crime syndicate in history. Really great movie. So, and then I also talk with, well, it's an encore presentation of my talk with Max about his Color Vision album, which has just blown up. And of course, the huge hit Blueberry Eyes with Suga from BTS. Just a really great, really great conversation. I love Max so much. And we're doing that as the encore presentation to celebrate Firefly starting next week. Of course, my first interview with Max was at Firefly a few years back, and he's just such a great guy, and I'm so excited for Firefly, and we have wall-to-wall coverage for you. Go to popcultureweekly.com for the hub, and you'll get all of the interviews, backstage pass, Firefly Music Festival 2021 backstage pass with Kyle McMahon. This is the official title. It's very wordy. I apologize, but you know, I tend to be wordy. All right. Let's get into my interview with Bebe Rexha. Hey, thank you so much for joining me. I really appreciate it.
Thanks for talking to me.
Of course. By the way, I was told to tell you, Uncle Dad sends his love.
Uncle Dad, who's my tour manager, to everybody listening. But yeah, he is one of my favorite people in the entire world.
Yeah, Dave is awesome.
I travel the world with him, so
he's a great guy. So yeah. I saw Queenpins, and it is hysterically funny, and you are incredible in it. And if I'm correct, this is your first live action role as your that's not as yourself, right?
Yeah, like playing an actual actress playing a part. Yeah, it's my first.
And what was that like for you? Your first film was Ugly Trolls?
Yeah, it was just like a cartoon animation. But this was finally like on film, and it was nerve-wracking. Like, I was so nervous. I didn't know what to expect. I wanted to make sure that I put a lot of work into it and did the best I could. And going on, like being on set with Aaron and Gita, the directors, and Kristen Bell and Kirby, it was like just so hilarious. Like, I just couldn't, all the nerves went out the window. Like, it was just so funny, like trying to keep a straight face. Cause I was kind of like I was more of like the straight shooter in the group of the three of us three. And I had a fun time. Yeah, I would love to do it again.
Well, I love that Tina is kind of like so deadpan. That's like kind of my humor. And she is, you know, extremely smart, but also like cool and like has this like kind of bad girl vibe about her. Well, not just vibe, I guess she she is.
She's a straight shooter.
There you go. And was that fun for you to do a role like Tina?
I even to my fans, like I'm always super like I'm super strong about like body positivity and empowering women and when it comes to that, but you know, being on TV, film is like so much more, you know, intense. And I actually like in my regular life, I'm quite, I have my moments where I'm like a boss, but I have my moments where I'm kind of nicer. It was kind of tough being like that, like, you know, like that badass girl who didn't really like care and like was like a straight shooter. And, but I am from New York, so the straight shooter thing was kind of easy. but it was funny because they were like these women who were finding success in their lives, but their heads were in the clouds where they didn't know much about like how to launder money and like what to do with it and not to get caught. And it was, you know, I was trying to teach them how to, you know, do the kind of, you know, bad stuff.
Absolutely. And it was a delicious role. I absolutely loved it. Are you a couponer yourself or have you ever been?
I am like I love a good like buy one get one free situation.
Oh, a BOGO, yeah.
Yeah, like I'm really blessed to like be where I'm at in my life, but like I feel like I still like a good deal, you know? So I'm definitely like when I go to the supermarket and then I put my number in and then I see like the minus, like I'm always trying to see like how much I save. It makes me really happy. And then like when I don't save anything, I'm like kind of annoyed just cuz I feel like
Yeah. Thank you so much. I really appreciate you talking to me. Queen Pins is hysterical. Great film. You're amazing in it. I can't wait for everybody to see it.
Same. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye. BB, absolutely love her. She is so cool. And how funny is it that I ended up realizing, oh, wait. We sort of share a manager. So funny. Shout out to Dave Brown, who's an amazing tour manager, entertainment industry vet, well-loved by everybody he works with. So shout out to Dave. All right. Next up, the encore presentation of my interview with Max to celebrate Firefly coming very, very soon. Here it is as we talk about his new album, Color Vision. So I am here once again with Max himself. Thank you, brother, for coming back and talking with me. I really appreciate it.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Of course. We've been trying to do this for a while. I'm glad the album is finally here. And that's what we're talking about, Color Vision. So, yes. By the way, I'm representing my yellow. So, so tell me, what is the symbolism with the color?
You know, I woke up from this vocal surgery I had, and I couldn't speak for 4 months. I was sort of trapped in my head. It was definitely a reflection period where I really had a new perspective of really just being so grateful for my voice, which is obviously my full job, which makes it so different when you lose it. And then just being able to communicate. And I think I woke up out of that and I realized I really wanted to commit to the album and have it be an arc and have it be a theme. And yellow felt like the foundation of that. It gave me this hope and this joy. And it sort of represented for me that I could get through it. And anytime I forgot that, having that color scheme reminded me why I wanted to put that message out there. And having the rest of the colors be representative of each song and their own palettes just felt like the next best step. And so that's why we made it Color Vision. And that kind of came at the very end of the album, realizing that that was the title and having it be representative of that perspective and seeing the world in a new way.
So I love that. I love the thematic, thematic element of it. Mm-hmm. It's really cool. It's really creative, as you always are. And the album's incredible. My only complaint with it is that it is 34 minutes. I need...
we might be adding some extra spice. Hey. You never know. You got to keep adding to it. we got some more for you, baby. But that's a beautiful only complaint. I'm glad to hear that. Thank you, man.
Of course. So let's talk about the record. So, Love Me Less, Where Am I At? I mean, also, yeah, I'm so ADD.
I love it.
It is What is interesting about this whole thing is that it kind of came out in an untraditional way. And what I mean by that is with everything that happened and is still going on with the pandemic, it has, you know, put a little bit, I'm assuming, of a damper in the original plans for the record. How did that hurt the creative process? Did that help? Talk to me about that.
It helped in an interesting way. If there's anything I've learned, is that God laughs at your plans. So sometimes the things you anticipate the most and you think that moment is going to be the thing that fulfills you, sometimes those moments end up being the worst. There's shows that I've had where I've just been waiting for it, and that show ends up being this really traumatic night. So sometimes I've definitely learned just to be open to it. And the fact that it came out in this time really is, in a strange way, a blessing in disguise. I'm always on tour, and that's why this album took 4 years, because I kept going on tour and then I'd get home and I'd do like 2 weeks of writing. But because of the times we're in, I spent really, really got to spend months putting on every hat and diving into the direction of the music videos and making sure that everything really did fit together. The merch, every piece really had a lot of love and care. And I think if we didn't have this time to really be able to have our house be a little startup of creatives, like trying to just make it all great together, we may not have been able to put that time and effort into it. So the Blueberry Eyes video, for example, you know, it took 2 months of just being locked in my house with these other creatives to really get it to the place that felt like its full potential. So long story short, you know, it all happens and you just have to go with the flow. And I'm kind of glad that we've had that time.
So you mentioned Blueberry Eyes, which I love that song, and you've created a little bit of a viral sensation. And, you know, there's videos, particularly on TikTok, but it's kind of been spreading everywhere, of where, you know, somebody can sing with you, you know what I mean? Sing that song. And I absolutely love that. How did that come about?
Gosh, I mean, I got to give credit to Nikki. She started that with her record. She's put out a record called Moonchild, and she did it for one of her songs. And I was like, oh, this is a great idea. And I love, that's the great thing about apps like TikTok. It really does give you a moment where, you know, it's awesome to have. Fans are always like, oh, can I sing together with you? And I couldn't do that in person with, you know, 1,000 fans, but it's fun when online they really can be, you know, we can have a little duet via something like this. And it's been cool to see, you know, singers that maybe have big songs have jumped on, like Salim, who has that amazing Magic Disney song. Like, she did the most ridiculous duet with me of the song, and her voice is phenomenal. So it's cool to see that, you know, fans and other artists alike are jumping on the ship and adding their spice.
Are we going to do it?
Let's do it. All right. Hit me, baby. All right, go ready? For it.
Hold on. I kiss you each morning.
Oh, that's not what I expected we were doing. Oh. I love it. I'm so glad.
What did you think we were doing?
You were going to play the song. I don't know what you were doing. Oh. Like, I'm ready for Kyle. Whatever we're doing, most things, I'm ready. If you started taking your clothes off, maybe I wouldn't be down for that. But, you know, most things, I'm ready for the spontaneity. What a great voice, though. That was delicious.
Oh, thank you. I probably should have said something to you beforehand. So
that was even better. I loved that. I did an interview the other day, and she was this awesome girl was nailing it, and she just whipped out a karaoke mic, and she started doing the same thing. And she had verb on it. I was like, yo, you can't just comment with me with the full karaoke
right.
mic and not just have me being raw on Zoom.
That's, right, that's exactly savage. yeah but you know, it's been really cool watching all these videos, like you said, there's so many talented people out there, and you know, to get the chance to interact with, you know, one of their faves is awesome, you know what I mean, and show their talent off.
Totally. Yeah. I mean, I've been blown away by some people who have recorded their versions. It's really been something I didn't expect. And even, you know, the shirt I'm wearing, this whole time has made me just appreciate how many talented, incredible humans are out there who happen to be fans. And we did like a design contest for the Blueberry Eyes t-shirt, and we got, you know, thousands of designs. And now this girl, Kim, who did design this, I'm going to do a bunch of designs with her. So it's cool to discover really amazing, talented people via the internet in these ways that, you know, I would have never known before.
And speaking of that shirt, that's limited edition, right?
Yes. Last week, this week. I don't know when it's theirs, but, you know, we had to stay true to it. It's limited. It's going to be done. I can't keep, you know, it has been helping my baby girl's college fund. But other than that, I have to limit it. It's got to be done.
There you go. So let's talk about, you know, thematically, as we said, you know, what I love about this album is that it's so wide ranging, which is, you know, how life is, right? Was that conscious for you? So, you know, did you just have these songs and that's what you were going to do? Or did you have 50 songs and you're like, you know, I want this kind of vibe. I want this kind of vibe, you know?
It was, I did so many songs. I did 100 songs for that didn't make the album that I did for the album. And I did them, 80% I did with my guys at Modern Roger. They produce, you know, Blueberry Eyes, Color Vision, Love Me Less, a lot of the songs. But then I worked with other amazing writers and producers that sort of slipped in there that just made sense in the story. And for me, it was like I had, it's like I had this puzzle and I wanted to put the pieces in and things weren't fitting. But when I'd find one that did fit perfectly, it's like I had the 100 songs and I just needed, you know, 7 pieces left. And finding those was spontaneous, but I knew what would, there had to be the perfect fit for each moment. So it was sort of like going for that. We were trying to create that piece over and over again. And every once in a while, a spark would happen and finally you'd create that piece. So it happened consciously, but at the same time, it wasn't like I wrote songs 1 through 12 in order and knew that that was going to be the order. I just knew what I wanted the arc to be, and fitting in those pieces was the hardest part, was the challenge.
I gotta say, you know, I mean, I love literally, and I'm not kidding, I love every song on it. The album's so great.
Thank you, man.
I think today, and it probably is going to change tomorrow, but I think today my favorite is Circle.
Ooh, nice. Yeah, very good choice.
Yeah, I love how, first of all, it's got a vibe. It's got its own vibe, you know what I mean? And I love that. And I love how you talk about the circles of relationships. You know, even the best relationships aren't going to be 100 every day, you know what I mean? And the longer those relationships go on, the you know, more likely you are to have a couple of off days every once in a while. So I like that you're real about that, and you still can love somebody and have those times where, you know what, I'm just not feeling you today, but I still love you, but I'm just not feeling you right now. You
totally
know?
I love that you get it from that. Yeah, it's definitely, it's the song that I wrote when I was going through a rough time with my wife. That was just that. Love is easy, but the relationship can be hard, and that's okay, and that's what everybody goes through. But, you know, just the communication, I was talking about this with another interview, but we both have had really bad habits that we've just wanted to make ourselves better for the other person and for our eventual baby girl coming to the world. And
yeah,
some of those were,
congratulations, by the way.
Thank you very much, man. But those things happen. You know, with that song specifically, Emily was going through this weird habit where it was, I think it's just from a deep, deep part of her that maybe was damaged as that growing up. I don't know. We all have our ways of growing through whatever we've gone through. And for her, she was taking off her ring in big fights. And she was like, you can have this back. And I had this big ask of her of just, please don't say things that you don't mean. If you mean something and you really ever do want to take that ring off and you don't want to be together, that's something I'll accept. But just the more you do that, the more I believe you. And we would have these fights and she would come back and say, I didn't mean any of that. And I'm so sorry I said that. And I, after a few times, I would just say, it just has to stop. And with her, we would get into a fight and I would break chairs. Like I would break things because I just lost myself. And she was so damaged by that. She was like, please never break anything again. I don't want you to break something in front of our daughter, you know, and screw her up. And so I haven't broken something since, and she hasn't taken her ring off since. And I think just being able to respect your partner enough to know that you both have your habits, bad habits that you want to get through and get better, but also that it takes that respect to look at someone and say, I've chosen you to be my person, and you're someone that I respect so deeply that I'm going to take what hurts you and better myself for you and for myself.
It's really, really awesome to hear you say that, because I think all of us as people and especially artists, you know, and or people in the public eye, oftentimes are so afraid to talk about those like dirty moments. But the fact of the matter is we all have whatever version of that story. And whether we talk about them or not, they're happening. And what it ultimately is a testament to is, are we going to make this work? You know, I mean, you know, here's what I'll accept. Here's what you are saying you will or won't accept. Are we good with that? And that's a beautiful thing. You know, that's how successful relationships stay successful long term, in my opinion, is is that communication, that back and forth, that that, you know, here are my boundaries, what are your boundaries, let's never cross them.
Totally. Couldn't have said it better myself. That's exactly it.
And for you to write about that, you know, and then put it on a record is really, you know, big props to you for doing that. Is that hard for you to be so raw?
I think I've learned that it's the only way that someone connects with it. Like the fact that you didn't know where that story came from, but you could feel it subconsciously and hopefully it meant something to you since you say it's your favorite. That's the only way I think that an artist can write music, at least for me, that it connects to someone in their heart in a way that it wouldn't if it didn't come from that real place. And that's the job. It's to go in, and I have these moments with Emily where sometimes I'll meet a writer for the first time and we'll collaborate. I'll tell them a story that I wouldn't tell some of my closest friends, you know, but it's just how it is. You walk in, it's a therapy session. You say, I'm gonna leave it out on the table. And for example, I wrote the song with AJR I always talk about on my last record called Home. And it was, we had this pregnancy scare. And now, of course, we're having a baby 5 years later. Yeah. But having that pregnancy scare, I told them the whole story. And I got back and Emily said to me, you told them about like last night's pregnancy scare? That's what you wrote about today? And she eventually realized that that's the job. You have to be completely transparent for it to mean anything to anyone.
That's like an aha for me, for you to say you have to be transparent in order for it to mean anything to anyone, because that's what art should do at the end of the day, you know, should say something or touch somebody in some way. And you're doing it.
I'm honored to hear that. Thanks, brother.
So you have some pretty sick collaborations on this record. Tell me about how did those happen? You have Suga with BTS from BTS and on Blueberry Eyes, which another one of my favorites. If you asked me yesterday what it was, it probably would have been that. But how did how did these come up?
It's all organic, man. And that's another thing I learned. I think when I started out, which wasn't that long ago, but in retrospect, when I started, I thought eventually you're going to have this big record label and they're just going to magically give you the Justin Timberlake feature or whatever else, you know, they're just going to get that person. But you learn that it just comes from a mutual respect for each other's music. It always is natural. And every feature on this record was exactly that. It was me, you know, DMing someone on Instagram, like Baby No Money for the weekend. Or with Suga, with BTS, they just had both, Jungkook and Suga had been giving love to my music for years. And we just met up in Korea in January, hit it off, and we made music for each other's projects, which was amazing. That's the short story of the long story. And that's always the best part of it, because then it means so much more. Then you're actually sharing in the journey, and I can send him a text on WhatsApp and be like, oh my God, I'm so excited for you with Dynamite. And he's like, go Blueberry Eyes. I love that is how it goes down with someone you actually connected with, rather than you just paid somebody a bunch of money to be the feature because they have a big name.
Yeah, it. You know, one of the things that I told you this last time we talked, one of the things that I love about you is your authenticness, you know, and you put it all out there. And what I mean by that is exactly like you're saying, you know, you can pay whatever, 500 grand for a Nicki Minaj feature or something, who's awesome. I mean, I love Nicki, but you could do that and have it all set up by the label and everything, or you can do it organically. And it all comes down, in my opinion, for you, is to the art in some fashion, you know? And it shows in the music. So, I love also how it's a project. It's not just a record. You know what I mean? Is that because you're such an artist that's important to you? Tell me about that. You know, what I mean by that is I could, you know, be an artist, release a song, do my two singles, do my two videos, and that's the end. They have nothing to do with each other. There's no rhyme or reason. I'm just kind of going through the motions. You're very thoughtfully put the entire project together. Why is that important to you?
I'm definitely inspired by incredible artists like Tyler, the Creator, with Igor, and with Prince, with Purple Rain. And just when somebody creates a full world with each record, there's nothing more exciting to me than diving into that world and being so enamored with, wow, with Igor, you know, that was a huge inspiration right before this record, just seeing, oh my gosh, he's got these fashion moments, the wigs. I feel like I can't wait to see this live. This is a moment in time. And I feel like any album that's affected me the most has felt like a moment of my life. And making it that much of a project just solidifies it being a true moment in any listener's life. And being able to look back on it and see that world, at some point, I'm obsessed with it. I'm so passionate about it. And even with BTS, honestly, that's been a huge inspiration, that every piece is so important. The fashion, the music videos, everything they do is complete. And that's been something that's fueled me to fight for that. Because oftentimes with the people you don't see, it's like, oh, it costs a lot of money to do a video. It should only be when the song's popping off and you need it. And to me, I'd rather just go all out and some things not work and some things do than to ever think I left it to chance.
Sweet. And you spoke of live, and you know, last time we talked, I told you and you already know this, and if you don't, you do now. Your live show is just insane. I mean, you're just you're just a performer, and or not just a performer. You are a true performer. It's a little bit different this go round. You're doing some, which I think is so awesome. You're doing some live, you know, you did a live performance online the other day, which was cool. So fans could see you perform these new songs. How is that figuring into everything? And are you planning for next year, hopefully, for supporting the record or?
Yeah, I got tours planned. You know, it's, again, God laughs at your plans. My new favorite thing to say, because I'm planning for it and I'm hoping for it. And I hope, because it's what fuels my soul to play live for everybody. And I'm open to drive-ins and all that stuff. I just want to play these songs for the fans in some capacity and feel their spirit. But doing the virtual shows was cool. But yeah, of course it changes things. But you know, and I'm glad that I can do it at all, because who knows, in a year from now, I might be dead. That's just straight up what it is. So I'm just glad to perform it in any sense. And I hope live performance comes back in the way that it's always been. I have this picture in my house, the one picture is playing Lollapalooza with Lewis the Child, and us on stage, and it was 50,000 people, and it's this incredible photo that just reminds me that's what it felt like. Don't forget that you'll have it again at some point, but for now, just soak up the things that you wouldn't be able to soak up when you are able to do those live performances, you know?
Absolutely. And on a personal note, we've talked a little bit about this today, you're going to be a father soon. How does that, I guess you can't really plan for it in many ways, but how does that, what do you think? Like, are you nervous? How does that make you feel? I'd be terrified.
Emily asked me that the other day. I'm not nervous. In the same way, the only time I was nervous was when she first said to me, I want to have a baby. Let's start trying. And I remember the first time she said that, my heart almost exploded, just realizing that next chapter of life was happening. And then since then, I've been just excited for it. You know, I know that I can't even fathom how tired I'm going to be. I can't fathom how much I'm going to feel in all ways, but I'm trying to prep in every way I can and just be present. I think that's the only, I just have to be prepped to be present for this little nugget. And I can't wait to just support her and love her and have her change my whole world.
I'm excited for you, man. I really am. Success. You've had success on so many different levels, from, you know, acting, songwriting, performing, singing. What does success mean to you?
Great question. I feel like it's the crossing of something you do, meeting something and connecting with other people in whatever capacity, and it being something that really fulfills you. That's really it to me. You know, I think about that all the time, where it's great when a song like A Lights Down Low really connects and it also, you know, helps pay for my baby's diapers and all those fun things. But it also, it has, if it didn't have the heart underneath it all, it wouldn't be successful to me. You know, I've had things that I've done in my career that I didn't care as deeply about, that maybe were successful to other people, but I don't look at them and feel proud of them in the same way. And I think that's what success is to me. Something you are fulfilled by, you're proud of, that affects other people in a way that makes them feel something.
That is awesome. Max, you're amazing, man. You know, I love your
work.
You
are, brother. Thank you.
I love, you know, you're just a light, and we need more light in the world. So thank you. And when you come around, we are, we're doing it. We're doing this in New York. So we're,
hell yeah, we are.
I'm I got a goal for us for that, and it's coming. We'll be back to some kind of normal at some point. So
I believe in it too. It's gonna happen, and we'll be ecstatic once it does. And I'm excited to hang in person. And thank you for listening to the album, man. I appreciate your time and it being a part of your soundtrack. That's awesome.
Of course, brother. Thank you. I literally love Max so much that I can't stand it. He's such an incredible guy. He is the definition of an artist, and I love him so, so much. And he's an incredible human being. So, all right. Guys, it's going to be Firefly very, very soon, and we're going to have your wall-to-wall coverage. In fact, the Firefly Music Festival 2021 Backstage Pass with Kyle McMahon. Again, wordy, but worth it. Wordy, but worth it. Wow, that should be my life. Like, if I had a tagline, wordy, but worth it. Although many people would agree, not worth it. But all right, guys. So please review us, leave us a great review or a horrible review, whatever. You still have an equal chance of getting your review read on Pop Culture Weekly on a future episode. I will see you next week. I love you all. We out.
Thank you for listening to Pop Culture Weekly. Hear all the latest at popcultureweekly.com.
I kiss you each morning with strawberry skies, 'cause I get so lost in your blue bag.